Hi everyone, this is Chris. It's 9:30 here Eastern Time. We're going to wait another minute or two for others to come on in. We're still waiting for Lisa and Sophia. Welcome everybody. Glad you could make it tonight. Hang tight. We're going to start in a minute. All right? Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Do we have any new callers on tonight's call? Anyone say, hear me? Okay, welcome. All right, I'm just going to go through the usual housekeeping information. Lisa, Sophia, and myself, we call this conference call the SOS call. SOS basically stands for Standing on Scripture, which is what we're all endeavoring to do. And we thought we'd put this together that give those of us on the RMM prayer wall a place to connect and maybe have some questions asked and answered, share with one another, connect with one another, where it's not possible on the prayer wall to do that. I also want to mention that these calls are recorded and we do post them. Excuse me, we do post them on a different website. It's the praisereports.org website. If you're not familiar with that one, I'll say it again. It's praisereports.org website. And just tonight I updated that, by the way, and I put in last week's conference call. And for those of you who are logged in already, I posted 10 restored marriage testimonials on the YouTube side. So if you go to the website, go to YouTube videos, there are 10 new marriage restoration videos that are posted there. And I just want to shout out loud and just praise the Lord because God is doing this every single day, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We do post these conference calls, and because we do ask that you don't mention your spouse's name, and that's part of covering our spouses to not, broadcast to the world what our spouses are doing. And if you do engage in a conversation, you can use your first name or don't use your first name. It doesn't matter. We don't need it. The other thing we also ask is when we're having different parts of this going on, it's not a Q&A, that you would mute yourselves out because the noise will show up in the conference call and it will get recorded. The call is an hour and a half. We used to have it an hour. Now we extend it to an hour and a half. If it's too long for you and you need to leave, feel free to leave. You can always dial back in. If you do dial back in, please don't re-announce yourself because it'll then interrupt the flow of our conference call. Aside from that, I think that's all the housekeeping. I don't know if I have Lisa, Sophia, are you logged in yet?
Chris, this is Lisa.
Lisa, welcome. How are you? You're here. Okay, and my voice is a little hoarse tonight, so I do apologize about that. I think that's pretty much it. Tonight we were going to talk about kind of like continuing our journey, but I think it's more of the foundations of our stand. And still part of the journey, but the foundations of our stand. I think that a lot of people here might be either new to standing or new to the conference calls and some of this that they would be blessed in hearing. And let me see. Before we get started, though, and we jump right in, we want to start and open with prayer. Do we have anyone, any men or women who would like to open up with prayer? Feel free to just jump in and start. Anybody? All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father. We just want to humble our hearts to you, Father, that you are God, and we are not. And you are sovereign, absolutely sovereign over us and our lives. You are sovereign over our spouses. You are sovereign over our marriages. You are sovereign over our circumstances. And Father, even though it appears that from time to time our spouses have they're living their own life and they're exercising their free will, Father, we know that their free will has been hijacked by the enemy, and ultimately you are the one who's sovereign over even our spouses' hearts and their lives, Father, because we make plans and you direct our steps, and you're the one who turns the hearts this way or that way, whichever way you want. So, Father, help us tonight as we come together in our conference call tonight, that you would speak to each of our hearts as we are standing for our marriages, as we are looking for answers in your word, in your truth. We're looking to you for understanding and wisdom. We're looking to you, Father, for the strength and the courage to fight the good battle of faith, that we don't give up on you, because you will never give up on us, our marriages, our families. So, Father, as we come together tonight, I ask, Father, first that you hold up my voice so I don't lose it completely tonight, but also, Father, that you would speak in and through us tonight, me and Lisa and Sophia and anyone else who has something that they want to contribute tonight. Father, we ask that you speak in us and through us through the Holy Spirit, that everyone on this conference call might benefit from it and might be greatly blessed, Father, by your word and your truth. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I do apologize. My voice seems to be getting worse. All right. So I kind of want to jump in, and I do have, let me see. James, are you on the call tonight? No, James. Okay. I'll check back later. Okay. Lisa, I know your time is limited. Do you want to jump in and speak as much as you can, because I think you have something else, another obligation? Lisa, are you there?
Yeah, I had already started. Did Sophia join yet?
No, she's not here yet.
Yes, I'm on. Okay, so, I'm on.
Oh, you're my favorite. My voice is going. I feel it now. Thanks, you guys. Okay, Sophia, do you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, I'll just really, I'm not going to take up too much time. It's just, you know, ouch. Sorry, my dog just licked my face. Just something that I really, you know, learned this week, this, you know, just in one of the books that I'm reading and, you know, in God's Word and everything, and just something that's really spoken, you know, to my heart. First and foremost, I just, you know, based on other conference calls and stuff, I just want to apologize to you guys if any time I'm coming out like I'm preachy or I'm condemning, and trust me, that's not where my heart is coming from. What I come from is a place of love. I'm walking this journey along with you guys as well. Of course, all of our journeys look different. And just my whole, you know, my whole prayer is just that I just want to, how can I say this? I just want to just help somebody along in their journey. I don't want somebody to go through the same thing that I went through. And just, you know, if I can spare somebody that pain and just help them to really seek, you know, truth and God and help them in any way along their journey, that's where the place that I'm coming from, a place from love. But one of the things that really I learned this week is, and I believe Chris and Lisa, I texted this to you guys today, is you know, when we hear of the prodigal son, the story in the chapter of Luke, we usually just hear about the son that was lost, that went away from home. We never really stop and hear much talked about the brother, you know, when the son came back. The brother was angry. He was angry. He was jealous. He was envious. He was, you know, his heart was just not in the right place. And I feel like, you know, I myself can attest to this, and I feel like a lot of us are, might, you know, our hearts might be in that place. And to me, a big thing for me is just really just to come in a place of, you know, forgiveness. We too can be held, just like our spouses, husband or wife or children or whomever, they're held in bondage, you know, in the life that they're living, you know, whether it be in adultery and, you know, they're out partying or they're in clubs dropping out like it's hot and just doing whatever it is. We can also come be in a place, even though we're not out doing the same thing that they are, we're holding on to anger, to bitterness, you know, to all of these things that are not fruits of the Spirit. And I myself have been there. I know. And, you know, my eyes have also been opened. And we're holding our, you know, we're held in bondage by lies of the enemy, you know, that we have to hold on to this anger because, oh, look what they did. Like, they did this. What, you know, that's so much worse. Like, oh, my gosh, like, I, what I'm doing is not that bad. But, you know, sin is sin. Anger is, you know, holding on to anger and envy and jealousy. It's still a sin. And we just have to really, I've had to cry out to the Lord, and I did it this week. You know, I fall on my face in tears, sob really from my stomach, just really cry out to God and pray deliverance over me for the Lord to break my chains, the bondage that the enemy has kept, tried to keep me in with an unforgiving heart, with, you know, anger. And I've had to pray over myself many times and ask the Lord to search my heart because, and we can all be honest with each other, at a point in time, I came from a place where even though I wasn't seeking revenge, but a part of me wanted my husband to hurt just as much as he hurt me. And that's also not coming from a place of love. So I've had to check myself and have God really search my heart and create a clean, pure heart, mind, body, and soul. And I've just learned so much in this journey that our battle is in our mind. That's really where our battle lies. And the only way we can fight it is really with the Word of God. You know, memorize scriptures of things that you guys are battling with, just like I have my own scriptures that I've memorized, that I have in my phone, things that you're battling with. And when you feel those thoughts creeping in, you know, use that sword. Use that sword of the Spirit. You know, speak those words. Speak the words. Speak the God's word over whatever it is you're feeling. And just pray over yourself for deliverance. Have others pray for your over deliverance and to break the bondage. And a lot of times, and I think, Chris, you're going to speak about this, is because we're hurting, because we come from that place, I did this in the past, and I've had to repent of it. The zip the lip doesn't necessarily just apply to when you're with your husband. The zip the lip applies everywhere. You know, whenever you're speaking to somebody else about your husband, whenever you're speaking, you know, whenever we're on the prayer wall, or just in general, even not even about your husband, just in general about other people. Slander is, you know, another word for slander is gossip. If we're gossiping what our husbands are doing or the way they're hurting us, it's the same thing. We're slandering them. And that's one thing that I've had to learn, you know, when I speak to others about my husband. And I usually just cut off the conversation. I don't really go into detail. I don't explain anything anymore. And, you know, lately in me, I've felt that I need to go to the people that I've spoken bad to, you know, that I've spoken my husband about my husband to. I've really been feeling like I need to go to these people, which is not that many. It was just a handful of people. And I need to ask them for forgiveness because what I did was not right. So, you know, if anything that I'm saying to you guys can help you guys out in any way, then I pray that it does. Like I said, I'm walking this journey along with you, and I'm learning, too. The Lord's teaching me as I go. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect, but I know I've been created in His image, and He's perfected me. So that's all for me right now.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chris, I remember we were going to try to have at least, I forget how many minutes, maybe any type of questions anybody may have for Sophia at this time.
Any comments or feedback on what Sophia said?
I have a comment. I have a problem when people say sin is sin, and I struggle with this because when there's people out there that are raping children or are murdering people, innocent people, and then you say, excuse me, that our anger or if we speak poorly of our mate, that's sin too. I don't see it as the same level of sin. And I don't think God sees it that way. How can you say that sin is sin and it's all comparable? Because I really don't feel that it is.
I feel like it is. For me, and it's just my opinion, because if God can forgive a murderer for what he's done, he's still forgiving sin. It, you know, there's no bigger sin than other. It's, to me, sin is sin. If you're in adultery, if you're murdering, you're raping, you're lying. You know, when you see all of the things that he said, if you're doing these things, you will not get into the kingdom of God. It still says lying, a lying tongue. He still sees, I feel like he still views the same thing.
But these people have to be repentant of it, and then God forgives. But if they're not repentant of their sin compared to someone that is, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I agree. Like, if you know, of course, if you have to repent of your sin, I agree with you, yes. Regardless if you're lying, if you're slandering, if you're, you know, killing, raping, you have to come to the Lord in repentance and repent for what you're doing and change it. Change your life. You know, let the Lord lead you and change your heart, change your life. You can't continue keep walking in the same steps that you were walking before. If you're repenting, and then that, because a person that, let's say, here's an example. If you're murdering, and if you committed a murder, and then you come home, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. And then you go back out and do it again the same day, the next day. You know, you're still sinning. It's like we're taking advantage of God's grace.
And there's a choice there as well. Like we all have a choice to whether or not we're going to sin or not. I agree with you, Sophia. I don't really see what it proves to talk badly about our prodigal. I really don't. If we're to walk in the love of Jesus Christ, then we should speak lovingly about our spouses, even though they're hurting us.
Amen. Jesus never once spoke badly about the people that were coming against him and slandering him and gossiping about him, and he never did. He just turned the other cheek and just kept quiet.
And so I think another good point to remember is it's okay to say what we think, but at the end of the day and at the end of our life is what God says. And he says in his word that if you keep all the laws and you commit another one, so if he says you didn't commit adultery but you committed murder, or you didn't commit murder but you committed adultery, it's the same thing to God. It does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is
right.
Sin. So it's not what we feel, it's what God says.
Right. Well, continuing to what you said, yes, if you keep all the law but break one, you're guilty of all of them. You're guilty of all of them. His words, not mine. The other two, I want to back it up with scripture too. We are told God says that while we were yet sinners, God died, Jesus died for us on the cross. So put in a different term, we don't have to wait for someone, our spouses, to come back and repent. We are like, if we're striving to be like Jesus Christ, we have to be like him. So if he forgave us way before we came to repentance, then doesn't he expect the same of us? I know it's a high standard, and it really requires the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. So yes, we are to forgive our spouses before they come and repent of what they've done, because that's what Jesus did with us. So we got to back up our stuff with Scripture. It's, you know, not my opinion. That's God's word. Go look it up. I'm going to give you God's word. You guys could go look it up.
Amen. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, you know what? I see it on the prayer walls all the time. People complaining about their spouses. And if anything we should do, if there's a complaint, I think we should just take it to our Father.
The Lord. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments or?
I want something. You have to go back and define what sin is according to the Word of God. And I believe in the Book of John, it tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. So that, first of all, is what sin is. And I agree with the lady. I believe it does grieve the heart of God when he sees sin, and if he sees anybody being abused or raped. You know, that grieves his heart. But I also believe it grieves his heart when we are found in rebellion, because he speaks in the Old Testament, I can't remember exactly where it says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so he refers to rebellion and disobedience. So, and I think it's Samuel, he tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants our obedience more so than anything else. And the reason for that is because when you are not in obedience, it disrupts your faith. And we cannot come to God unless we believe that he is. So until we get to the place where we believe that God is and that he says what he says he's going to do, he's going to do, we can't go any further. We displease God when we don't believe in him. And one more thing is and the reason you know that to be the case is because think of yourself, if you happen to have a child, and I think I mentioned this last week, if your child tells you they don't trust you or their behavior shows you that they don't trust you, that grieves your heart. To have a child that doesn't trust you, that brings about a hurt in your heart. And it's the same thing with your spouse. If you don't trust your spouse, or if your spouse tells you they don't trust you, there's something about that just crushes the spirit. So much more so is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to believe in him. And this journey that we're on, we cannot successfully endure this journey without first believing God and his word and that he is.
Okay, so I'm going to back up what Lisa said with two scriptures on that. Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without believing in him. The other one, I just read this today, Psalm 78. If you guys are taking notes, read the entire Psalm of 78, Psalm 78. God goes into detail of how angry he was with the Israelites, how he was angry with them for not believing in him. And he goes through and he gives an account of, well, I did this for them, I did this, I parted the Red Sea, I put all the plagues in Egypt, I did all of these things. He enumerates all of them and says, and they still did not believe me. They still didn't trust in me. They still had doubts. And he makes it very clear. Like, when you read Psalm 78, I read it today, and I took a step back thinking, wow, like, if he were human, we would call him being pissed off. That's what God was. he was very angry here when we read Psalm 78, the account of him and the Israelites, how after, you know, time and time again, he did the most incredible, miraculous things, and they still chose not to believe in God. And they, you know, so I hope that drives the kind of the nail home, because, I mean, that drives the point home, because believing in God is essentially calling him a liar. And I think that if there's any, I don't know. If you're God, can you imagine your own people calling you a liar? I'll let that kind of sink in with you guys. You guys can think on that for a second. But, okay, moving on. Are there any other questions or comments to Sophia? And then we can move on to more.
I just want to add one little thing from my own experience, that the enemy is constantly reminding us daily, because this battle, we know most of it's going on in our mind, and he's constantly reminding us of everything that our spouse has done, everything. And so if we're not taking those thoughts captive, and I've learned this myself the hard way, you guys, it's a daily, it's a daily battle. But if we are not taking those thoughts captive, if those are the things we're thinking about, then those things are coming out of our mouth. So when I see that happening on the prayer wall and other places, I automatically know it's a reminder to me. Those people, they're not winning the battle in their mind. They're thinking on the thoughts that the enemy is planting, and then those thoughts are coming out of their mouth, and that's what he wants. He wants us to speak those things and to tear down our marriage and to tear down our spouse. And so for me personally, it's a daily struggle, and it seems to be the worst when I go to bed at night and it's dark and, you know, it's quiet. And there's times that I'm having to quote scripture constantly to take those thoughts captive, because it is a daily battle. So I just wanted to add that, because it is such a major warfare in our mind that we have to take seriously.
Amen.
That is perfect.
Thank you. Perfect. You said it.
Amen.
Yes.
So the scripture is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Before you move on, I tried contacting you, Chris, on the prayer wall. There's a woman whose marriage has been restored, and she would be interested in coming on here and sharing her testimony and taking questions.
I got your email and I replied. Absolutely.
Oh,
let's connect and let's do it.
I actually didn't receive your email.
Okay. Check your junk folder. Check your junk folder. That's what happens to mine.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Check it again, but let's connect and let's coordinate that for next Thursday night's call. So praise the Lord, we have potentially maybe next Thursday, let's pray about it, we'll have a testimonial next Thursday night on the call. So we'll see what the Lord does. So thank you for reminding me of that and bringing that to us. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Speaking again, let me say this one more time. Just tonight, on the praisereports.org website, I added 10 marriage restoration videos. 10. Still a lot more. Praise the Lord. God is restoring marriages every single day. And we only see a fraction of the iceberg of all that he is doing. So praise the Lord. When we get the testimonials on Thursday from Charlene on RMM, we get, you know, Thursdays, or we get, you know, Saturdays. Those are great, but what I enjoy seeing is the restored marriages, because that's what pleases God even more. It's the accomplished work, and I enjoy that. But be encouraged. There's a ton of, I think there's maybe close to 100 now on praisereports.org website of restored testimonials, and a ton more. I can't keep up with the volume. I get people now who email me, hey, here's another one, or I find a bunch on my own. Same thing. God is so good God is so good. Can I continue, guys, with my thing? I want to talk about the foundation of our stand, because I think that over the last couple of weeks we've kind of narrowed it down to that little section of why are we standing? And I want you guys to stop and pause and think about this, because this is going to help you a lot. If you haven't stopped and asked yourself, do that over the next couple of days. Why are you standing for your marriage? And let me give you a couple of things to think about. Are you standing because you're used to it, because it's a comfort zone, because you're dependent on your spouse for, you know, finances or feelings and emotions or companionship? Why are you standing? And if we're standing on, we have to be really careful with what our answers are, but let's identify the answers. Be honest with yourself. Maybe write them down. Be really honest with yourself, because your answers are going to tell you why you're standing and then what direction to move into. And because keep in mind, this is a journey. If you're not moving forward, you're not moving in your journey. And if you're not moving forward in your journey, that could be a delay in your restoration. But God has an end point to this journey. Every journey comes to an end because every journey has a destination. That destination is your spouse coming home, and God rebuilding your marriage with Him at the center. So we have to, from time to time, do some introspection, pause, take some time, prayerfully ask, Lord, why am I really standing? And if we find that a lot of it is driven by our physical needs or our feelings and emotions, then that's probably not where God wants us to head into that direction. See, because feelings and emotions, all the negative feelings and emotions, God didn't give those to us. Fear, worry, anxiety, stress, all of those negative feelings and emotions that we see displayed on the prayer wall, those are not from God. Those are from our enemy trying to just keep beating us. And as someone just said a few minutes ago, it is a daily battle. It is. But if we focus, God says He will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our eyes focused on Him. And I remember, you know, a year ago or so, even 8 months ago or so, I was battling with that a lot myself personally. And the Holy Spirit kept reminding me, Chris, what do I say? Take one day at a time, to give no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own problem. So focus just on today. Get through today. Amen. I did that. And the other thing was, remember, Chris, focus on me and I will keep you in perfect peace. So the combination of those two in the morning and throughout the day, I made it one day. And then the next day, I made another day. And you keep doing that and you keep doing that and you keep doing that. And then soon you look back and you see, wow, I've actually traveled far in my journey. But in your journey, don't forget, what's the reason? Because if it's feelings, emotions, needs, and whatever, God said, I'll provide all of your needs for you. All of them. Financial, companionship, peace, all of those. So why are we standing? If we're really standing for what God wants, then that's where we're going to find incredible strength to not only stand, but stand successfully, and then to thrive. What I mean by thriving is now you become that person who's ministering to someone at church or a friend at work or a neighbor or somebody else you just meet and they're talking about, you know, they just got divorced. I had someone text me today. I'll share one real quick testimonial. This week I had somebody texted me from church. I met him a year ago at church at a men's breakfast, and his first time going to the church. He happened to come and sit. God directed me to a table to sit. I sat there, just all weird, but too coincidental for it to not be God. It was totally God. So I sat at a very specific table, didn't know anybody at that table. There's a guy who comes. He sits right across from me. And then the Holy Spirit just started leading me to talk to this guy. We started talking. It was his first time at that church. He was driving down the road. Had no plans to do anything. He saw a sign that says men's breakfast, and it happened to be that day and that time. So he does a U-turn, he goes back to the church, and he just walks right in. He walks in, sits right across from me. the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. We started talking. We sat together after the breakfast in the men's sermon. After that, we sat together. We talked. Then we got together for coffee. He shared his story with me. And then I shared with him some marriage restoration material. And this, a year later, that guy is part of the church. He goes regularly. He's part of a different men's group there that has helped him tremendously. When he came to the church, he had incredible anger. He had incredible unforgiveness towards his wife. You name it, he's got it. Resentment, anger, hatred. Didn't even want to speak to her. They got divorced. He sent me a text this week saying, thank you, I'm involved in this and this and this. I see how God is working in my life and transforming my heart. And he said, it's all because you made a decision to sit at that table and start a conversation with me, and then we went out for coffee after that. So don't underestimate the small little pebbles that we move in faith that turn into something larger. And that's the journey that we're all on. And me and Lisa and Sophia and those others who contribute to our Thursday night conference calls, we're here because God has moved us in this journey, all God, not us, moved us and helped and building us up to a point where we can thrive in this stand. And thriving is exactly that. We stand, we get out of the boat, and we walk on the waves, and we encourage others, lift others up, and we're able to help others come along the same path to see God's truth. And that's my next point is, when we ask ourselves the question where we are, why we're standing, our answers are going to tell us where we're focused. Are we focused on our spouses and our marriage, or are we focused on God? Because I guarantee you, you focus on God, God, in a short time, God's going to take you to that point of being a thriver, where you're no longer bothered much or little or none at all by the things your spouse says or does, or by the things your spouse says or does. So none of those will affect you anymore because you're growing in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to talk about. The foundation of our stand has to be firm and has to be firmly grounded on Jesus Christ, the rock, not the sand. If we're firmly grounded on our physical needs, wants, and desires for our marriage and our spouse, then we're building our stand on sand. And every time our spouse says something, we're up one day, down the next day, up one day, down the next day, and we're just like this log floating in the ocean of a storm. And we're getting beaten up, we're getting knocked down, we can't do this anymore, we have no more strength. Yeah, because we're doing it all in our own strength. But when we establish the firm foundation of our stand on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, then come waves, come wind, come rain, winds, and storms, and waves, nothing will hit us, nothing will move us. Because Jesus says, if you're firmly planted in me, He's the rock, firmly planted in him. He said he will keep us from being beaten up in the storm. He will keep our feet from being moved. He will. So it's all him. Again, he does all the heavy lifting. We just have to fight the good fight of faith. But we need to find, so that it takes me to another point, is how do we establish that firm foundation of our stand? First, ask yourself the question in some quiet time. Sit down and really be honest with yourself and what your heart is telling you. Why are you standing? Write it down and then prayerfully meditate on that so the Lord will redirect that towards we stand because God called us to, because God joined us together as husband and wife, because God made us one flesh, and God said, let no one separate, and that he hates divorce. And there's a lot of other scriptures that we can throw in there, but for sake of time tonight, we can't. But you know there's a lot more scriptures supporting God's view on marriage. There's a lot more. So let's find our footing and in our foundation. Our foundation has to be rooted and grounded in His Word. It has to be His Word, not our feelings and emotions, not our wants and desires, not because they owe us anything, because our spouses owe us nothing. They owe us nothing. God paid the ultimate price by giving His only Son for each one of us and forgave us of all of our sins while we were still yet sinners. And he pursued us and pursued us and pursued us. So one other thing that's very, very critical is don't worry about your spouse. Pray for them, but don't worry about them, because as much as God is pursuing you in your heart, believe me, he's pursuing your spouse like you have no idea. Because God says, he gave the Son Jesus Christ that all may come to salvation, repent and come to salvation, be saved, that he doesn't want anyone to perish and go to hell. He created hell for not for us, but for the demons and his angels. So there's a whole host of scriptures saying that, you know, we have the prodigal son story. We have the, if you read the prodigal son story and then read the other two stories just behind it, what about the woman who was searching the house for the lost silver coin? I believe the woman in that parable is the Holy Spirit was seeking after the lost silver coin. The lost silver coin is us, is our prodigals. And in one form or another, we also were prodigals before God brought this, God allowed this crisis to come to our marriage to then give us a wake-up call and get our attention and say, hey, remember me? I should be first in your life and in your marriage. And that's really a big part of this journey that we all should be taking, that we're taking. And that the other parable right after that, the woman looking for the lost coin, when she found the lost coin, what did she do? She ran out, and throughout the whole town, she told everybody, I found the lost coin. I found the lost silver coin. And then they all had a party and rejoiced. And even today, I get this. Okay, I love this because this is perfect timing. This is God right here. I received this scripture just today. James 5:20. Realize that whoever brings a sinner back from their error, from the error of their ways, will save him or her from death, and many sins will be forgiven. James 5:20. I got this today. Perfect timing for tonight's call. So don't worry about your spouse. Yes, we pray for them. We are unconditionally loving toward them. We do what God calls us to do and be toward our spouses in this season that they are in, which is, trust me, it's dark, it's empty, it's lonely, it's scary. Doesn't matter if it's a man or woman. They're all freaked out and scared. And they're in a very dark place where nobody wants to be. Because all the prodigals who come back and share their story, they all say the same thing. I don't know where I was, but all I can tell you is I never want to go back there again. And all of them had different adjectives to describe what it was like. But none of them want to ever go back there again. Not one. I said, yeah, you know, it seemed fun, but really, no, it wasn't. And it was a dark place in their lives where they're going to be grateful for you for standing, and they're going to be grateful for you for praying for them. So, again, back to the foundation. But let's focus on establishing a firm foundation, because from that, our journey really takes, you know, it takes leaps and bounds moving forward in how God wants to transform our hearts, change us, focusing on the things that he wants to focus and change in our hearts. And he does it. Sometimes he points things out. Other times he just does it. We're told that you're different this way and that way. But let's focus on that. There's a lot more I want to say and I can say. Maybe I'll leave it for next time. But I want to leave it at that. That's a good place for us for the next week, is let's focus on that, on why are we standing? What's our firm foundation? Is it rooted in the Word of God? Or is it in our needs, wants, and desires, feelings, and emotions for our marriage, our spouse, and our family to be restored? So let's focus on that, because if it's not rooted on obedience to God and faith in God, then we're not going to move forward in our journey. That's not where God wants us to go, okay? So I'm going to leave it at that. God bless you guys. That's my short one for tonight. Any comments, feedbacks on anything that I said?
You made me think about being the prodigal. As a prodigal, I was thinking back to things that I was doing and saying, and for a couple of years, I was very rebellious, so don't you all get scared and think your prodigals are going to be out there for years, but I was a very rebellious female. But there were things that I was doing along the way where I know as I look back that was God moving on me and speaking in my heart. For example, I would allow my husband, ex-husband at the time, to stay in my house even though he was with the strange woman. Or I would prepare a meal or, you know, buy him a Christmas gift for just still concerned about him. We would fight. We would argue. You know, when you don't really care about anybody anymore, you can be very nonchalant about it why argue with somebody that you don't care about, bottom line? Really? I mean, why? So there were things I was doing. And, Chris, you mentioned, and I think it came down to, did I truly believe? And you were talking about that tonight. What was really in my heart at the time? And, you know, the word says only God knows the heart. And my heart, even though my mouth was saying one thing, like, I don't want him, I don't care about him, I wish he was gone off the face of this earth, my heart was saying something different. And at the right time, God spoke very loudly to me, to open up my eyes and to get me to start moving in that direction. You read that scripture, I think, in Hebrews tonight. We can't come to him unless we believe. And I feel as though some of us, because even myself, with all that Jesus has done in my life, there are still times where I have a hard time believing that God will do this for me. Or the enemy puts that thought in my mind, or tries to put that thought in my mind. Because, see, I've learned how to pull down those things, those thoughts that he tries to place there. You know, because the word says that we have to pull down those thoughts. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we have to pull those down. And the way that I've been taught to pull it down is to speak what God says. Speak it out loud, because faith comes by hearing. I have to hear it out loud. Father, you called me to stand. Chris said, ask yourself, why are you standing? Because, Jesus, you called me to stand. So when someone says to me, well, if it be God's will, your marriage will be restored. Oh, no, back up, demon. God has already called me to stand. It is his will. Every morning that I wake up, I know it's his will. Because, see, his word says, if it be thy will, I shall live, and I will do this and that. As long as this and that lines up with the word of God, I don't have to ask myself, was it his will? Now, if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, then it's no longer his will. So sometimes it's just like, Father, are you going to really do this for me? And you did it for so-and-so, but are you, even beyond are you going to do it for me, are you real? Let's just ask ourselves that. How many times have you thought to yourself, is God real? I mean, is he real? Does he hear me? Are these just stories in the Bible? And that's why I go back to the very beginning. We have to believe him. We have to trust him. And until that is truly a part of your heart and your every being, the core of your soul, then you can't move forward. This is about your soul being saved, and that's why you have to believe God. Because if you think that once hubby or wifey comes home, it's going to be peaches and cream, then once again we are fooling ourselves, because we know that is not the case. It wasn't the case when they were there in the beginning. It certainly won't be the case when they come back. So we have to know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He says, seek me first in the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have to seek God. One of the standards, she painted a picture, and I don't know if she's on the call tonight or not, but I'm going to share with you the picture that she painted. She said, imagine your spouse being a prisoner of war and them having being forced, having maybe a gun to their head, and I said even a knife to their throat, and the enemy is forcing them to say those horrible things that they're saying to us. That was me. I was that prisoner of war, and I said some of the most horrible things that I could to him. I can't even tell you why. Do I want to go back to that place? No, that's what Chris says. They will tell you they never, ever want to go back to that place. That place was dark. It was miserable. I don't ever want to go back to that place. And what I needed at the time was I needed unconditional love. And because my companion could not give that to me, God placed people in my life that could. They gave me unconditional love. They gave me compassion. They said to me, Lisa, it's okay. God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. And it was that type of encouragement, that type of compassion with loving kindness have I drawn them. So the next time we want to raise up our knife and fight the spouse because we are thinking that the sin that they have committed is worse than something that I've done, picture yourself and what you need. Because, see, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have any questions, but Chris, you certainly made me think about some things tonight in my own journey as a prodigal. And I do not like that word. Oh, my gosh, I'll call myself a prodigal. But God help me, I will not ever again refer to my spouse as a prodigal. I went back and read John, or I think it's John 15. I didn't read where he called his son the prodigal. He said, this is my son. This is my son. And he ran out and greeted his son with the best of what he had, with love. So your spouse, your husband, your wife, in talking to each other, we may say they're the prodigal or what have you, but in your heart, do you really see them as that? Or do you see them the way God sees them, as his son, as his daughter? I'm God's bride. That's who I am. I'm his bride. And I want to leave you with one more thing, and we talked about it last week. If you didn't get a song that you can sing, sing it. He inhabits. You know what the word inhabit means? It means he comes and he sits with you. He inhabits the praise of his people. So if you haven't taken the time out to praise your Heavenly Father, do so every single opportunity you get. In good times, in bad times, bless his name. Even if you don't feel it, talk about how good he is. Recall those things that he has done and say them out loud. He wants to hear our voice.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen, Lisa.
Any comments and feedback to what Lisa said? Questions?
Or Chris?
I have a statement. I feel like sometimes we feel that we have to defend ourselves because that's our nature. But what God is wanting us to do is to depend on him and allow him to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just
you're
like,
right.
Just mm-hmm. like, you know, when you see kids in school, you see that kid that they call being bullied. They don't defend themselves. That's how God wants us to be. God wants us to be that child that he's the one that gets that takes care of the bully, in a sort of speak. So when we're offended, you don't take action, which you end up going around the bush back all over again. Testimony can attest to that, but I had a couple of tests and I was actually thanking God because I passed it. I didn't react how I would normally react, and God wants. God wants us not to be fueled every time something happens, but be fueled to within him.
I think you broke up a little bit there.
What I'm saying is that God wants us to be able to give it to him so he can react on it, not us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen. You're
God
right.
says vengeance is his, and we don't need to fight the battle. We don't need to seek vengeance for ourselves. He said vengeance is his. So there's the scripture to back that up. Amen.
I have a question. What do you do when you are in, I guess, a conversation with your spouse? And there was, I know that we're not supposed to live in being victims, but instead look for victory out of situations. But you are in a situation, or you have had situations where you're in a conversation with them, and things were done, and they're denying everything. And, I mean, do you not call them out in a way to abuse them, but, you know, like, do you just accept what they're saying, even though it's false, because it's a lie if they're saying, I didn't do that, and it's, clearly it was done. So how should one respond to that? Is it just like, okay, well, you didn't do it, it's no problem, but it was done. So when there is an offense that has been brought upon us, and how else can you move past it if we're not willing to face it, if we're not willing to discuss it? But when that other person is in denial about it, I mean, how do you take that to move forward? Because in order to move forward, isn't it, don't we have to at least discuss what happened so you don't end up in that space again? But not to live there, but to progress, for progress, because you don't want to make the same mistake twice.
Yes, we definitely want to progress. So a couple things. First of all, I have learned that from many standards before me whose marriages have been restored, that, and even with Charlene, that anytime we encounter a situation just as you described where our spouse is denying this or that, and we clearly know what the truth is, and it's different from what our spouse is saying, what they have said before me with restored marriages is that what they do is they zip their lips and they go to their prayer closet and they pray to the Lord. And the Lord deals with that, with the spouse's heart in that area. And it could be 5 minutes later, it could be 5 days later. But God will deal with that specific issue that the spouse has given us a different story that's not true, has lied to us. So we do that, we zip the lips, we go and pray, let God fight that battle, let God take the vengeance, let God, who touches the hearts and turns the hearts, let him do his work. Because we're not God of the universe, we're not God of people. So God, that's God's work to do that. And the other thing is that what we also should do with our spouses, how do we react, what do we do? Well, we zip the lips, but we also take it at face value of what they said. And let me quote that for you. 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes all things. So how do we react? We believe all things. We zip the lips. The first opportunity we have, we go to our prayer closet. We pray about it. We give our burden to the Lord and say, Lord, you know the truth. I know the truth. And the truth is truth. But so help me if he or she lies one more time, I'm going to lose it. But Lord, I'm bringing it to you. Because you said vengeance is yours. You said you will set the matter straight. You said for me to bring my burdens, my cares, my worries, my concerns to you. So you know what, Lord? Here it is. I'm bringing it to you in prayer. It's yours. It's your problem now. See you later. Let me know when you resolve it. I'm going out about my business and my day. End of story. Let him do it. He heard you. And you pleased him because, we just got done saying, we pleased him because we did exactly what he wanted us to do. We zipped the lips, we took it at face value and believed all things, and then we took our burdens to the Lord, and by faith we took it to him, and by faith we left it at his feet, and by faith we trust he's going to fix it. We've satisfied everything he wants of us. Move on. And you'd be surprised what God is going to do and how he does it. Charlene talks about this, that she's had issues with Bob, I think after they came home, and she would go into her prayer closet and she would pray. And, you know, sometime later, whatever it was, he would then come to her and apologize, and he would then correct the thing that was, you know, between the two of them. He did it. She didn't have to say a word. We fight through silence and doing all the other things that God instructs us to do. God's got our instruction. The Bible's our instruction, our handbook for every single little thing. Does that answer your question? Does that help?
Yes, it does. It answers it. Thank you.
Awesome. Amen.
I want to share something else. My spouse used to always tell me, can't nobody tell you nothing. And do you know how many times he said that to me? Can't nobody tell you nothing. You don't listen.
And none of the 100 times that he said that to me did it make a difference. Was he speaking the truth? He was. But you know who revealed to me, because you often hear me say I was rebellious. You've heard me say it tonight. God revealed that to me. God showed me that. See, my husband could never show me that I was rebellious. He couldn't tell me that I was rebellious. Because in my mind, I believe that I was not. So it's only God can change the heart of the king. Only God can change the heart of the queen. Only God can do these things. Now, what my husband did maybe was plant a seed, and maybe somebody else watered it, but it was God who brought me to myself and caused me to see myself. So I 100% agree with Chris, and I love the scripture that he gave, love believes all things. But you asked the question, too, how do you handle that? And I like what he said. You know, you take it to God. But in the thick of the conversation, in the heat of the battle, if you know this man, I'm going to have to say men, so men, you all can, you know, y'all can address the woman. But if you know this man is standing in your face and telling you a bald-faced lie that he didn't do such and such, we as women, that Sarah mentality, because remember, Sarah gave Abraham the wife, so we got a little boldness in us. We're going to be like, how dare he lie to me right there in my face? You know, that's the kind of the heat of the moment. And some of us haven't reached Charlene status yet. I'm trying to get there, too, where I can just kind of like be quiet. But in your heart, if you can at all possibly just look at him and, you know, say, honey, I love you. Or something that is totally off. From what, if he said, I did not have sex with that woman. Okay, if that's what you say, I believe you. Because the moment you get him to confess and to confess his sin, you have removed your covering. And God is trying to protect you and keep you covered. Because when you make it where he's bold enough to say it and confess it to you, then he's bold enough to bring it to an open public shame. You don't want to be brought to an open shame. So it's best to just look at him in his eye and say, I believe you. You may not believe him, but you believe that what he believes he's saying is true. That's what you believe. You know he's lying, but he believes it to be true. So you can believe with him that what he's saying, he believes that to be true.
Good answer. Thank
That's
you,
all.
Lisa. Okay, any other questions?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yep. Any other questions?
So, Chris,
comments?
I have a question. How do you men handle that? How do you men handle it if the woman is standing there lying to you?
You know, I shut up and I, you know, walk away from the conversation. Like, okay, if you say so. And I leave it at that. But
isn't
I haven't
hard
had.
Being you're the head of the house.
I walk away. I did say, well, I don't walk away frustrated or angry. you know, yes, but you know, walk away. Just walk away. What are you going to do? Right, you're confronting them. That's you know, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. God says that where is it? I took my tongue and I can't think of it. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Beatitudes.
So, Beatitudes. Thank you. And it's the there was another verse I was going to give you guys, but yes, blessed are peacemakers. And then there's another and a soft answer can quiet the most raging attitude. I'm paraphrasing, of course, and I think that comes from Proverbs, but a soft answer. So that's being meek and lowly. That should be the condition of our heart as well. So You know, that's what we should strive for. Do I do that all the time? Well, you know, since my wife moved out two years ago, I haven't had much of that. But I did have, I will say, okay, so Lisa, since you asked me this, now that I think back about it, I remember that after she moved out and we were going through the divorce process in court, there were several things that I did text her and ask her to not do that involved the kids. And I said, please don't do this thing because it's going to involve the kids and we don't need to expose the kids to this and to that and to our junk and whatever. And she refused to. She was just flat out, you know, almost like she didn't care about her own kids, you know, our kids. She just didn't care. And I know in my heart I was pleading to the Lord and I was praying like, Lord, she seems so cold and callous towards our kids and they're hers too. How can this be? And of course I had to drop in my memory, the Holy Spirit did, you know, all the things that I've learned. This was about a year ago. And I had to be really, really very careful when I was texting her to not react or respond out of feelings and emotions that were from Satan trying to, you know, dig the wedge deeper between the two of us, me and my wife. I had to be careful when I was on a phone with her, having conversations, because we do. We text, we talk. I had to be very careful. But it was more than just watching my words. It was, Lord, I can't watch my words if my heart doesn't match the words. Now, I could fake it for a little bit or for this phone call, but what's in my heart will really seep through if I'm not careful. So, Lord, change my heart. I want to be able to look at her with, you know, unconditional love. And, you know, as Jesus says in the Bible, you have pity on them, you know, for where they are, where they are in their heart is being deceived by our enemy. So I really had to just, you know, focus on, Lord, you got to change my heart because I don't want to fake it and I don't want to lie and I don't want to put on a false front. I want to be real and genuine. And so that was, for me, that was, it was kind of a walk in the fence there between watch my mouth and my reactions and at the same time, Lord, change it so I don't have to watch it. It naturally comes out of the abundance of my heart. You know, the unconditional love speaks towards my wife. You know, with forgiveness, with tenderness, with, you know, kindness, gentleness, and believing if she says this, then okay. If that's what you said, then I believe it. I left that at that. So that's my answer to you, Lisa, is how I've dealt with that. But over the last 6-8 months, we haven't had stuff really coming up that, you know, was, you know, caused any friction. Anybody else? Any other men who want to share on how they've dealt with that? Any women who want to share?
I think I shared time before last conference call. I have an in-home prodigal, and so I am faced with that particular scenario often. And just last night, he left for work 2 or 3 hours earlier than normal. So, you know, I knew something was going on, and I could, you know, the enemy is just right there, and you feel that burning, and there's just this anger that rises when you know you're being lied to. But I have to ask myself, how is it going to help me to get him to tell the truth about it? It isn't. And it goes back to what I'm allowing my mind to think about, because the enemy is constantly bringing those imaginings into my mind and wanting me to go down that path and think about what he could be doing or what he couldn't be doing. But honestly, I'm at that place where finally, thank God, after a year, where my focus is just on him, and it has to be on God every single day, not on what my prodigal is doing, my husband is doing, not on any of that. And it isn't going to benefit me to know or to be able to confirm that he's lying. He's absolutely going to lie because he's living in the land of deception. He's deceived, in, you know, by the enemy himself. so the things that come out of his mouth are lies. And I agree with what Lisa, I think, said about our covering and not wanting to be exposed. And God wants to protect us. And there's scriptures about our, you know, we're not going to be shamed and, you know, that kind of thing. So it doesn't, you know, if you truly trust God and you believe, you know, the Bible says he makes wrong things right. So all of that, you know, if you just tell your, you get that word, you immerse yourself in it so much that it's just oozing out of every pore when the enemy comes against you, you know what to say back to him. You know how to fight him with scripture. That's what Jesus did. When your husband or wife is lying to you, then, you know, what Chris said is true. You walk away. But when I'm walking away, my mouth's moving and I'm saying, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Father, because you make wrong things right. And my eyes are on you. And it isn't easy, I'm going to tell you. It isn't easy. And I'm, you know, still a work in progress. But when I do those things, when I keep myself so centered on him and I'm reading the word in my free moments, I don't watch regular TV anymore. I listen to messages. I read the word. I just immerse myself in it. I have peace. And, you know, it's a discipline, and you've got to do it. If you're going to survive this, because this is not a battle for people that are passive. And I was passive for most of our marriage, and the enemy came in the camp, and he stole and he plundered. Because I was asleep. Well, this girl's not asleep anymore, guys. And we got to take it seriously.
Amen.
We got to do what we got to do, and we got to ignore what they say. We got to ignore what they do, knowing that our God is sovereign. And he's been telling me that in every message lately I listen to, everything I read. He is sovereign. He is. Mm-hmm. There is not anything going to happen that he doesn't want to. And one of the great scriptures that I pray over my husband is, you know, there may be many plans in his mind, but it is God's plan that will prevail. And that's the truth. And we have to rest in that, and we have to trust it. Doesn't matter what he's saying. Doesn't matter what he's doing. God's plan is the one that will prevail.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to, there are several scriptures. Amen. There are several scriptures backing up what you said. There are several of them. God will not allow it. Let me say this again. God will not allow us to be put to shame for putting our faith and our trust in him. And he Amen. Will bring the shame to those who are, as another scripture says, those who deal treacherously with us, his children, God will bring the shame to them. And expose them. And there are countless numbers of prodigals who come back to God, to their marriages. And that fact has been true in every single one of those prodigals going to be coming back home. There is no escape from it. There is no escape. Now, we don't glory and revel in the demise of our spouses. We need to understand, again, they're in a very bad place. They're in a dark. If we look at their heart, not what they're doing, don't look at the external, because Satan looks at the outside, God looks at the inside, at the heart. Let us not judge on the outside what our spouses are saying and doing. Let us judge the heart, because that's what God does. And everything from the heart comes everything else that they're saying and doing. But their heart is in a very, very bad place right now. If we truly understand where they are and where their heart is right now, the condition of their heart, we would be crying for them day and night and praying, Lord, you got to save them. Lord, you got to turn their heart back toward them. Lord, even if it takes, you know, another 2 years, 5 years to bring them back to me, save them and their heart. Restore their heart to you now, Lord, because they're in such a horrible. Imagine, again, someone who said it tonight. Imagine they're in a POW camp, and they're being tortured every single day, physically, mentally, emotionally. They're being tortured. That's where our spouses are right now today. And the everything that we see them doing, whether they're involved with another relationship, whether they're drinking, they're doing drugs, whatever they're doing that's worldly, all of those things, they're doing those things, and sometimes it might increase because they're trying to mask and cover the hurt in their pain and their heart that's so heavy. That's so heavy. They're looking for an escape. And sometimes they find it in sex, in extramarital affairs. Sometimes they're finding it in drugs and alcohol and whatever else, and partying all the time. Whatever it is that they're doing, they're looking for an escape. Escape from what? Escape from the condition of their heart. It's in a bad place. If we really understood that, we would be crying and crying and crying for them. Not because we wouldn't be crying because of what they're doing to us. We'd be crying for them in the condition of their heart. That's so important to understand that. And that goes for anyone who's not walking with the Lord, any backslider, anyone who's not even a Christian walking, pursuing the Lord. That should be our heart, the mindset of our heart towards everybody. Because don't we find that in the scripture? Doesn't Jesus tell us and admonish us to do that? So I want to explain this to you guys so you understand. That's why we pray for our spouses in their heart to be turned back to God and Jesus Christ. We pray that for them because of their lost condition. And Jesus said, doesn't he leave the 99 and go pursue the one? Because that one is so important. He'll leave the 99 and go pursue that one. Trust God when he says he's pursuing your spouse. Even if you stop praying, he's still pursuing your spouse. But here's the thing. If you stop praying, God's not working in you and through you, and then he's not pleased with you. Yes, he's not going to be pleased with you. You'll find that in the scripture. Disobedience to God. God commands us to pray for those lost and pray fervently for them and fast and pray for them. I know these are great sacrifices. And you know what? I wish I could tell you guys. When I first started my journey, I wished death upon myself because I said to myself, and I heard this in some of the testimonials that I posted on the website tonight, I heard that some of them saying, one of them said exactly the same thing that I said for several months. God, take me or take her, so I'll be free from this. Because death would be better than having to stand for my wife. Death would be better. And what's worse is take her then, so that way I don't have to deal with this. Because it would be easier for me if she were not alive. Because if she's alive, then she's right there, but I can't feel her, I can't touch her, I can't reach out to her. Nothing I say or do will affect anything in her heart and her mindset. Nothing. And you know what? I've tried a few things. And I know a lot of people have done that. Crying, pleading, crying, you know, begging. Been there, done that. And you know what? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say it. As a man, as a husband, as, you know, doing that with my wife, that's desperation. That's desperation. And in my desperation, I said, Lord, the day she moved out, all of that stopped. Because the day she moved out, I said, Lord, I'm now it's you and me. And you need to show me the journey here that everyone's been telling me about for 6 months now. Because there was a period of time between she filing for divorce and moving out. There was like 6 month period. I said, finally, Lord, okay, this is a journey. Fine, I'm going to submit. It's a journey. Tell me how to walk this journey. Show me the way. And then God was sort of leading me and guiding me in that journey. But I could echo so many things that so many others have said on this call tonight. Yes, absolutely. This by far is the greatest, most challenging journey you will ever face in your entire life. And some of us come to it with little faith. Others come with great faith. Some of us come to it with, you know, brand new in Jesus Christ and being a newborn Savior in Jesus Christ. Others come from, you know, being saved and Christian prior to this. Whatever you come, Jesus says, come as you are. Come as you are. All of us right now are on equal footing with the Lord because he's not a respecter of people. So it doesn't matter where you are in your walk, your relationship, in your journey, we're all in the same place. Because every day, you know what? Every single day, every single one of us, even if we have a restored marriage, we still have to get up in the morning and put on that armor. Because every single day, it's a battle. Our enemy doesn't stop. They're tireless. We get exhausted. You know what? And I have to tell some of you people, you feel like you're exhausted, like you fought the good fight of faith, you've prayed, you've fasted, and you feel exhausted. And you know what? It's okay. Let me tell you this. It's okay. You know why? Because we get examples from the Bible where many of God's prophets were exhausted at some point, and some of them wished death on themselves. So let me give you this as an encouragement. Elijah just got done bringing fire from heaven and consumed in the big, huge bull or cow, whatever it was, that they cut up into pieces and they poured water on it and everything else. And he, you know the story. If you don't know the story, go back and read it in the Old Testament. Elijah, not Elisha, he came after. Elijah, he just got done bringing fire from the heaven, consumed the entire carcass of the animal, and the fire licked up the water. And immediately after that, he had all the false prophets, 450 of them, I think it was. He had them all that afternoon, that evening, all of them killed right there and then. I took them down to the lake, massacred all of them because they were all false gods and they were worshiping false gods and idols. And then right after that incredible supernatural event, just that same evening, he found out that Jezebel, she then sent him a notice saying, by tomorrow this time I will do to you what you did to my prophets. And he ran for his life. And when, if you go read the story, he ran for his life and he said, I wish death upon myself. He was tired. He was worn out. He has spent all of his faith. He was weak. He wished death upon himself. And this is a great man of God who did incredible things. And then the rest of the story is beautiful because the angel comes and says, okay, gave him angel food. Woke him up twice, gave him angel food. I'm going by memory, so I'm trying to remember this as accurately as I can. Gave him angel food, and then for 40 days he fasted because that angel food kept him for 40 days, but he fasted for 40 days, went to the mountain of God, and there he met with God. And then God says, I have another plan and purpose for you, and go. And that's when then he found Elisha, and then brought him under his wing, tutored him, etc. But the point of that is, even it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, how strong you are, how great, how little doubt you have, and how great faith you have, it doesn't matter. We all, from time to time, will feel that emotional drain. And I'm going to be very candid with you today that some of you, many of you, have not seen me on the prayer wall all week. You know what? I was at that point where I was exhausted. And you know
me
what
too,
I did?
Chris.
I shut everything. I shut out everything and everybody, including the prayer wall. And I spent every moment I could. Last night I was up until 3:30 in the morning. I'm just hanging out with God. I'm hanging out with God because I needed that boost. I needed to get that. I needed to be revived by the Word of God and just spending time with Him in His presence. I needed that. And I'm not a holy roller. I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm just a guy standing for my marriage. And I've learned a few things along the way from some great people before me who've stood and their marriages have been restored. And by the grace of God, I am where I am here. But I pray that I can continue being an encourager to all those on the prayer wall and those who come on the conference calls, because that's what God wants me to do right now. And I spend, you know, time whenever I can on the website, praisereports.org, to the purpose of that is to be an encouragement to everybody else that if he's done it for so-and-so, if he's done it for so-and-so, if he's done it for this person, that person, he can and he will do it for me. And he's done it for Charlene, he'll do it for me. And he's done it for thousands and thousands and thousands of other people. He's restored their marriages and he will do it for me. Why? Because Mark 11, 23 and 24, if I ask anything in God, in Jesus' name, of our Father in heaven, that Jesus will do it, that I will glorify God through Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done. And if I believe I've received, it will be done for me. If that's the only scripture I have in the Bible to stand on, my entire stand for my wife and my marriage, if that's the only one, it is, you know what, those two verses is enough to completely destroy Satan and all of his army. That's how powerful God's word is. Mm-hmm. I don't need 1,000 verses. And yet, you know what? God gives us 1,000 verses. And if you still need more, God says, if you still need more, I will give you more. Because that's how good our God is. That's how good he is. That's how faithful he is. He thinks of thousands and thousands and thousands of good thoughts towards us all the time. And you know what? Nowhere in those thoughts towards each and every one of us is there one speck of doubt that he's going to change his mind. Because he says, I'm not a man that I will change my, that it will, I'm not a man that I should lie, and I'm not a human that I should change my mind. So if you read a verse in the Bible and it jumps out at you, then this is your verse for your marriage restoration, believe it. That one verse can be your solid rock to stand on for the entire rest of your life in your marriage, and God will do exactly what he said he would do. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. 1,000 marriages may fall your right. Now, 10,000 may fall on your left. But God spoke to you and said, stand. God's going to do it because he said so. He's not a man should lie. And his word goes out and accomplishes all it sets out to accomplish. And it will not come out, come back void. The question is, if we need more faith, then go to the Bible because that's where you're going to find your faith. Like I did today is an example. Elijah wanted to death. Because he was fearful and he was worn out. And he went, where did he go? He went to the mountain of God, and there God met him. Where can we go to meet God? God tells us in, is it Psalm 91 or 51? Go to Psalm 91, first verse. Go to the secret place, and that's where God's going to meet us. That's where everything we need from God, God's going to meet us there. And when he meets us, great things happen. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're worn out, it's okay. If you're beaten up, it's okay. We might lose a couple of battles here and there, but you know what? The war is not over. The war is not over because the war belongs to him. And it's not over until he says it's over. And he says it's over when your spouse comes home. It changes. I think as Lisa said, it changes, but there's an end, and there is a restoration, because God is the God of restoration. He's given us the ministry of restoration to himself and to us as well. And God loves your marriage and so desperately wants to restore our marriages, each and every single one of us, more than what we can even imagine. So let's trust in him. Let's trust in him and take him at his word. Because when we start taking him at his word, that faith in our heart builds up so strongly, like with Abraham. It took Abraham and Sarah some 20-plus years until they received Isaac as their son. Because God was slowly building up their faith and removing doubt. And if we have prayer, the disciples, they couldn't cast out the demon from the father's son. And they said, well, you know, then privately after that, they took Jesus aside and said, why couldn't we do it? Then prior to that, they were doing all kinds of things. They were casting out demons and they were healing. But in that moment, they couldn't. And Jesus said, because of doubt. And then he says the next verse, this, the doubt, can only be removed by prayer and fasting. So if that's what you need to do, then do it. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. But God will do it, and God wants to use you like Esther. God wants to use you and work through you, but if you choose to walk away, God will be displeased, and he'll use somebody else because God still wants your husband, your wife saved. He still wants them. He's still going to pursue them with or without you. He's still going through it like with Esther. She could have stood up and talked to the king or not. And then she fasted for 3 days, and then she decided, okay, I'm going to do what I've been called to do, and she did. And you know what? God used her. So do you want God to use you mightily, or do you want somebody else, God to use someone else? Because God will bring your spouse back to himself one way or another. But God is not pleased with us. Yes, there are things that makes God angry and upset and displeases, and we displease him by not doing. Yes, it does. God is a God of love. And God will forgive us, and God's grace and mercy, we have all of that. But God does get upset, and he does get disappointed with us. Now, if we've made mistakes, you know what? Get up, go pray, repent to God. God delights in himself in being merciful. And his grace will cover whatever mistakes you've made in the past. Don't worry about it. From this moment forward, take everything to the Lord in prayer. Take all your anger, your frustrations, your unforgiveness, take it all to the Lord and dump it on him and then ask him to change your heart. Build up your faith, remove the doubt, whatever you need to do. God gave us instructions for every little single detail that we need. If we just follow him and trust in him and obey him, he will do the rest. And I guarantee you, we do that, your marriage will be restored. And sometimes we will avoid the pitfalls and we'll avoid the detours. We will avoid the detours. Let's not be like, I can't remember what it was. Jonah. Jonah, let's not be like Jonah and run away from God and take detours and then find, like Lisa said, find ourselves in the same situation as our spouses where we become the prodigal because we're not walking in faith and obeying God, what he wants us to do. God's going to carry all of our burdens. Okay, I'm sorry, I kind of hijacked this and I went on and on. Forgive me, but I'm going to turn it over to Lisa, Sophia, if you guys want to close this out because I think I'm done.
A good Anyone? Word, Chris. Thank you.
Any questions, comments, feedback?
I just want to thank you and Sophia and Lisa. This is my second or third conference call, but it is, you guys really are doing God's work, and it is it's a huge encouragement to me, so I'm sure that it is to other people. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I really appreciate you taking and giving your time to encourage everyone.
Praise the Lord. Follow him. Okay, so I guess we'll close on prayer because we are at the top of the hour, and we try to stay on time. So I'm going to close out in prayer unless anyone else wants to close us out in prayer. Anyone? Okay. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you tonight. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your grace and the mercies that abounds every single day. And Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your promises. We want to thank you, Father, for loving us so much that we can't even fathom it, Father. I believe we're going to spend eternity understanding your love, your great love for us. And Father, we know you love our spouses. And Father, we know that you cherish each and every one of us, including our spouses, that you cherish our marriages, that you are so anxious to reveal yourself to each and every single one of us, that you want to reveal yourself and encounter our spouses, that you want to bring us into that place of restoration with you and the restoration of our marriages, Father. You want it more than what we do. Father, we want to thank you because there are no words to express how awesome, how great you are, that you deserve all the praise and all the glory and all the honor because how magnificent you are, Father. Sometimes you floor me with just how large you are, and your heart is just incredibly large. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for my brothers and sisters on the prayer wall. I thank you for the brothers and sisters on this conference call and those who are standing for their marriages, Father. I pray that you quicken each of their hearts tonight, this weekend, next week, Father. Speak to them, Father. Reach out to them, Father, through the Holy Spirit. Touch each of their hearts. Father, show them how to pray. Show them how to draw closer to you. Show them how to carve out time in their day to draw closer to you so you'll draw closer to them. Show them, Father, how to make time to read your word, which is so rich with truth and wisdom and knowledge, Father, that we can learn to walk by faith and walk in obedience to you, that you would do all of these things that you said you would do, Father. And Father, create in each of us and our spouses a new heart and a clean heart, that you would write your name on our hearts, that we never depart from you ever again. Even after our spouses come home, we never depart from you again, Father. But we continue with a fire in our hearts and a strong desire, Father, to seek after you, your face, your kingdom, and desire to do your will, that your laws and your judgments, Father, are sweet tasting in our mouths, that we crave them and we seek to desire them and to follow you and follow the directions you give us on a daily basis, Father. I pray, Father, for every one of us who are standing for our marriages, Father, that you would continue lifting us up, those of us who are fallen weak and those of us who have been bruised and beaten up and by the waves, Father. Help us to, like Jesus Christ, reach down and grab Peter's arm as he was sinking in the water, Father. Grab those of us who have been sinking or are sinking. Grab us by the hand and lift us up again and stand us up to stand on the waves, to stand on the waves of our situation and our adversity, Father, that comes against us, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And as long as we stay close to you, Father, as long as we find shelter under your wing, Father, we will never be moved. We will never be moved because you won't let us, Father. You're holding on to us. And you're holding tight, and you will never let us be moved. So, Father, I pray that blessing and your word and your truth upon each of our hearts and lives today and throughout the next week, Father, that let us not be moved. Let us not be moved by anything we see in the physical, with our eyes, with our ears, to hear. Let us not be moved by anything, Father, but stand firmly planted on you, Jesus Christ, the rock, which is the word of God. And let us move forward boldly, proclaiming your word and your gospel of peace and your gospel of love and your gospel of restoration in our hearts, to our spouses, to our children, to our family, to everyone around us who has an ear to hear and who is interested. Let us speak, Father, your truth, that you truly go before us, prepare the way, and our marriages are healed and our marriages are restored. I decree and declare upon all of us who are hearing, who's within the sound of my voice, Father, I decree and declare upon your word, Father, in Jesus' name I say amen. Mm-hmm. Good night, everybody. Love you. Amen. And we'll be praying for you. We'll see you on the prayer wall. God bless.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. God bless.
Good night.